I'm Eric Crossley. Welcome to Making a Difference, Season 2, Episode 3, Biden and Harris to the Rescue. Well, at least we hope to the rescue. Welcome and thanks for joining us. I would like to thank you for being loyal listeners and continuing with us on as we move into 2021. Thanks to Daron Arias, my producer and friend in Florida and elsewhere, helping us out and getting us going. I want to get right into this week's episode. Of course, we are on the brink tonight, as I'm recording, of having a new president and a new vice president, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And we want to say, first of all, our congratulations again to them and to the United States for finally getting rid of Donald Trump. It's been a long, difficult time, and we've spent a lot of time on this show and on the previous show, It's Time to Talk and Act, talking about President Trump and his disastrous 4 years in office. It's all there for the record. I think we have 136 episodes, but I would like to, we can't stop talking about what's going on after the president is leaving office. So this episode is going to be about a lot of that. But first of all, I wanted to start by saying Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away in 2020. And I never got a chance to again read the quote from her that I thought was more applicable than ever before. She said, "Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country." Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we lost in 2020. May she rest in peace. And I want to move forward, though, while talking about her and also talking about what's been going on the last 4 years, to congratulate Joe Biden and give you a little background about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We talked a bit before, but Joe Biden was born November 20th, 1942, in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Biden became the sixth youngest senator in U.S. history when he was elected to the U.S. Senate from Delaware in 1972. Biden was a longtime member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and eventually its chair. He chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee from 1987 to 1995. Biden ran unsuccessfully for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1998 and 2008. Biden was reelected to the Senate six times. That's 36 years, folks, and was the fourth most senior senator when he resigned to serve as Barack Obama's vice president after they won the 2008 presidential election. Obama and Biden were reelected in 2012. On December 18, 1972, Biden's wife, Nelia, and their one-year-old daughter, Amy, were killed in an automobile accident in Hoxocken, Delaware. Biden's sons Beau and Hunter, respectively, suffered a broken leg and a minor skull fracture, both fully recovered. To see his sons every day, Biden commuted by train between his Delaware home and the Capitol. So that was a 90-minute commute each way, folks, and he maintained that habit through 36 years in the Senate. Kamala Harris, of course, also is, she's going to be our vice president. She was an American lawyer and politician, serving as the junior United States Senator from California since 2017. A Democrat, Harris is the second African-American woman and the first Indian-American to serve in the U.S. Senate. Harris, who ran for president herself, has already been vetted. She survived the primarily relatively unscathed and emerged the top candidate to hop on Biden's ticket. She does want to be president someday, and occasionally the ambitions of a vice president can get in the way, but we certainly congratulate her. And this is a historic occasion that we're not really focusing on as much, but we have to think about the fact that this is the first time in United States history that we have had a woman as vice president. And perhaps someday she may be president also. Now, I want to play a clip a little bit from the president-elect Biden and vice president-elect Harris. This was from right after the election. So this was back when we had maybe a little more optimism than we do right now. But I think the words from both of them, our president and our vice president as of January 20th, and I think you'll enjoy this. This comes to us directly from ABC News.
People of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory, a victory for we the people. We've won with the most votes ever cast on a presidential ticket in the history of the nation.
Congressman John Lewis, before his passing, wrote, "Democracy is not a state, it is an act." And what he meant was that America's democracy is not guaranteed. It is only as strong as our willingness to fight for it. To guard it and never take it for granted. And protecting our democracy takes struggle. It takes sacrifice. But there is joy in it. And there is progress, because we, the people, have the power to build a better future.
I pledge to be a president who seeks not to divide, but unify. Who doesn't see red states and blue states, only sees the United States. It's time to put away the harsh rhetoric, lower the temperature, see each other again. Listen to each other again. And to make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They are Americans. They are Americans. The Bible tells us, to everything there is a season, a time to build, a time to reap, and a time to sow, and a time to heal. This is the time to heal in America. I'm a proud Democrat.
We have to mention on that, that was back in November. That was November 7th, of course, the president-elect and the vice president-elect speaking after they were declared officially the first time out of 75,000 times they had to be declared officially a president, vice president. And I want to say that I have met Joe Biden and our future president, and I've not met Kamala Harris yet, but I met Joe Biden at Yellowstone National Park. I was traveling back in the days when I was working for the National Science Teachers Association, and part of my job was to travel all over the country. And I was at Yellowstone and happened to meet the vice president, and I remember he called me Bud, and he said, "How you doing, Bud?" But the vice president appeared kind of out of nowhere. And there was nobody around. There was Secret Service close by. And it was interesting because I was able to go up to him and shake his hand. Now, when I first started moving toward him, the Secret Service looked at me, but Vice President Biden at the time let me through. I want to say the Vice President made some more comments just tonight on January 19th before he... before we had a memorial at the Lincoln Memorial for the over now 400,000 people that we have lost to COVID-19. And earlier today, the president-elect gave comments in Delaware. We talked about the train trips that he had. He has had the future president, 78 years old. He'll be our oldest president to take office. But the amount of compassion and empathy in that man is amazing. I hope you get a chance to look at his speech in Delaware, which occurred today on January 19th, as he said goodbye to the people of Delaware. This was a man who commuted on the train every day to Washington, D.C. from Wilmington, a U.S. senator, now president of the United States. He was a commuter. He was somebody who met the people, and he's somebody who's always met the people. He is 180 degrees different from Donald Trump. Donald Trump is leaving office. And I have to say, after talking about Donald Trump since 2015, when he first decided, got the great idea that he wanted to run for president, all the way till 2021 now, I am so happy and so pleased to see that Donald Trump is leaving Washington, D.C., hopefully forever. Now, what I've discovered this evening, before we go to break for the first half of the show, is kind of interesting about what's happening as far as the inauguration. Of course, I don't know when you're listening to this, but the inauguration, January 20th, and this will be the first time in 150 years that the sitting president has not attended the inauguration of the incoming president. It's protocol, and it's called Keeping the United States One Country Together. We had a president, of course, President Trump, that we've talked about endlessly. And I don't have to go over everything he's done before. January 6th was something we've never seen in U.S. history before, and I hope we never see again. But a sitting president actually inciting his crazy followers to go to the Capitol, attack the Capitol, and we had five people die, including a Capitol policeman, including one of the protesters. What we have found in the 2 weeks since this event happened is that these people are now being arrested. We talked in the previous show about how so few people were arrested, and that's something we're going to continue to have to investigate. And the main reason is because they weren't black. We'll talk more about that in the second half of the show. Nevertheless, give the credit to the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, all the police forces all over the country who are now making the arrests. And a lot of these people are going to be finding out after the fact that what they did on January 6th, the treasonous acts, the sedition that they committed at the U.S. Capitol, is not just a stain on the United States for our history, but a stain on them forever. I don't care if you're from Oklahoma, Tennessee, Louisiana, Alaska, or Hawaii, or Maine, wherever you're from, whatever state, they decided to come down here to Washington, D.C., 40 miles from where I'm sitting right now, and attack the U.S. Capitol. And the Capitol Police were outmanned. Some of them let them in. We found that 13 police have now been arrested already between Capitol Police and some other police who may be involved. We know that some National Guardsmen ahead of the inauguration have been arrested. So they are clamping down on these people. But keep in mind, that's sedition by the police. That's people who have been involved directly with the rioters. Okay, they're not protesters. They're rioters. They're people who were trying to overthrow the government of the United States. That's what we have to keep in mind. Because even as we move forward into a new administration, and thank God, God bless America, that Donald Trump is finally going to be out of office. We made it through it. But look what we had to pay for. Look at the price we paid. The final price was January 6th, 2021. Back at the start of this year, which was 3 weeks ago almost, I said, I pray 2021, this is going to be the year that things change and things get so much better for us. And January 6th happened, and we found out that things don't always get better quickly. We'll have a new president and a new vice president, the 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden. Thank God Donald Trump is gone. May forever his name in history go down as being the most treasonous and terrible president in our history. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Making a Difference. I'm Eric Crossley, Season 2, Episode 3, Biden and Harris to the Rescue. And again, we hope that's going to happen. It's been a very, very difficult 4 years. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the latest we have on the coronavirus situation, because this breaking news, and this comes to us from MSN.com, from Zachary Mack. The CDC just issued this alarming new COVID warning after weeks of seeing coronavirus cases surge nationwide. The U.S. is finally witnessing a slight drop in newly reported cases. According to data from Johns Hopkins University, we saw an 11% dip in newly reported cases over the last 7 days, CNN reports. But while the slowing of the spread of the virus is considered to be good news by some, many health experts are warning that the pandemic is still far from over and we shouldn't be celebrating yet. This includes the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, which just issued a warning that newly discovered highly contagious COVID variants will bring a new spike of cases in a matter of weeks. Quote, the quickening pace of the novel coronavirus spread has already alarmed public health officials and medical experts, with 60% of the cases in the United States having been reported since Election Day on November 4th, according to CNN. So 60% of the cases in the United States since November 4th, which is about 2.5 months. And keep in mind, this started early in 2020. But according to a forecast released by the CDC on January 15th, the highly transmissible UK strain of the variant, formerly known as B.1.17, will likely become the dominant strain of the virus in the United States by March, and that means even more rapid growth in early 2021, which is also known as right now. The U.S. has recorded, unfortunately now, folks, over 400,000 COVID-19 deaths, a sobering milestone that comes as the nation prepares to inaugurate a new president who has pledged to speed up vaccine delivery and promote protective measures like mask wearing as a patriotic duty. So looking forward, moving forward on this, we are in the middle of a pandemic still, but we have a new president and vice president, and the Democrats control the Senate. Now, the Senate is 50-50, so Kamala Harris will break any tie votes in the Senate. She may be a very busy vice president doing that. There's a lot of negotiating going on right now. Mitch McConnell. Now, Mitch McConnell, I've talked about a lot, and he has not been a senator from Kentucky, of course. He's not been one of my favorite people in the history of the Senate. He's certainly one of the staunchest supporters of Donald Trump all along. Well, this comes to us from Politico, and I'm going to play you a clip of Mitch McConnell. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday said President Donald Trump, quote, provoked the rioters who stormed the Capitol earlier this month as Congress was certifying the presidential election results, his strongest condemnation yet of the outgoing president's actions that led to the violent insurrection targeting lawmakers. McConnell's remarks come as the Senate is awaiting formal transmission of the House's impeachment article passed last week, which charged Trump with willful incitement of insurrection. The Kentucky Republican, who will soon become the minority leader when Chuck Schumer takes over as majority leader with the 50-50 Senate and the Democrats in control of the presidency, has not yet said whether he would vote to convict the president in the Senate's upcoming trial, which begins after President-elect Biden is inaugurated tomorrow and immediately once Nancy Pelosi sends the articles across the Capitol. Let's hear from Senator Mitch McConnell. And let me say again, I think I praised Mitch McConnell already in one of our previous shows in 2021, 19 days of 2021. And I want to say a big kudos. It's awfully late, Senator, but here's Senator Mitch McConnell. And he has some words to say that I think you'll enjoy hearing.
Last time the Senate convened, We had just reclaimed the Capitol from violent criminals who tried to stop Congress from doing our duty. The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. And they tried to use fear and violence to stop a specific proceeding of the first branch of the federal government, which they did not like. But we pressed on. That an angry mob would not get veto power over the rule of law in our nation, not even for one night. We certified the people's choice for their 46th president. Tomorrow, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris will be sworn in. We'll have a safe and successful inaugural right here on the west front of the Capitol, the space that President Bush 41 called democracy's front porch. Then we'll move forward. Our work for the American people will continue as it has for more than 230 years.
So, Senator Mitch McConnell giving us a nice overview there. Now, he goes on after that to talk about politics and how the Republicans are going to be great all of a sudden. It's amazing, though, to me how Mitch McConnell speaks, and every word out of his mouth for so long was kissing Donald Trump's behind. And now, suddenly, since the election was certified by the Electoral College and Donald Trump has continued with his minions, which has grown smaller and smaller as time has gone by, Donald Trump has continued to say that the election was stolen. And we've gone over all this garbage before, and we're not going to talk about it anymore. The most ridiculous thing in the world. So now, of course, Mitch McConnell's thinking, well, I am an older gentleman, but maybe I'd like to have some kind of political future. Well, I wish him luck on that, but I do thank him for finally standing up. Mitch McConnell, at least, has not been on board with the crazies. In the House and a few, I think, eight senators, Republican senators, who after the riot, after the attack on the U.S. Capitol, and I mentioned this before, I'm going to mention this a million times. I think there was 134 in the House. I'll have to get the, it was 148, it was varying, but about 140 Republicans and eight senators who voted after all this happened, after these thugs, these rioters, these seditious, treasonous people invaded the U.S. Capitol, defaced the U.S. Capitol, and ran through it with the Confederate flag and thought everything was just, we're just going to have this big party there. And it happened in 2021. I mean, when will the Republican Party finally face up to the fact of what happened? Now, the last poll, and we're going to have to get a new one for the next show, but I can't believe this is true. But then again, it's 2021 that the Republicans, 45% of Republicans polled, actually supported the riot at the Capitol. Because there's so many Republicans and so many people just in general, and they're all Republicans, but a few Democrats too, straight in, who were fed the lies, the endless lies by social media from Donald Trump and his, from Twitter on Donald Trump about how the election was stolen. None of this was ever true. We went over it a million times. Now, what's going to happen now is this. We're going to get a new president. We're going to get a new vice president. The Democrats are taking over the Senate because of 50-50 split. And again, with controlling the White House, controlling the presidency and the vice presidency, the Democrats will have control of the Senate. It's not going to be a big control, obviously, at 50-50 with Kamala Harris, the vice president, breaking ties. We'll see how things go in the Senate. The Senate, you have to understand, is where there is a modicum of sensibility in a good portion of the Republicans there. The House is a different story. The House is where we had 140 members after the riot. After the rioters came so close to the vice president, Vice President Pence, they were in the next room, okay? Where people died in this attack, where our democracy and our country was forever stained. January 6th, 2021, will go down in history of the United States as one of the worst days, if not the worst day, for our country. Because it was an attack on democracy, it was an attack on our country, and it was an attack on a 100% fair election, and there's been shown to be almost no irregularities. And one of the cleanest elections ever, we said it time and time again. We've gone over this over and over again. But I wanted to, as we close the show, talk a little bit about what is sedition, what is treason. This comes to us directly from the United States. Well, this is actually Section 2384, Chapter 115, and Title 18 of the United States Code. The United States law provides specific information on the crime of sedition. Now, that Chapter 115, Title 18 of the United States Code lays out federal crimes and criminal procedures, defines the crime of seditious conspiracy, and Section 2385 advocating overthrow of the government. According to Section 2384, a person can be fined or imprisoned for conspiring to overthrow or oppose the government by force, prevent or delay its laws by force, or take by force its property. Section 2385 makes it a crime punishable by fines, imprisonment, and or being barred from federal employment to engage in such actions as advocating, abetting, advising, or teaching anything that encourages using force to destroy or overthrow the government, including distributing materials or organizing groups to these ends. Now, right there, folks, you have the definition of sedition. Let's go to treason. Treason is the offense of acting to overthrow one's government or to harm or kill its sovereign. The non-form is a traitor. Also, like sedition, treason is a specific definition under Chapter 115 of Title 18 of the U.S. Code. Section 2381 stipulates, whoever owning allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and or comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason. In U.S. law, a conviction of treason is possibly punishable by death. Legal definition of terrorism, Chapter 113B and Title 18 of the U.S. Code has extensive provisions on and a definition of terrorism. In the United States, terroristic acts, preventing terroristic acts is under the jurisdiction of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. Now, the domestic terrorism definition, violent criminal acts committed by individuals and or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences, such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. So we can go through these codes and we'll go over more of it as we go along in future shows. But the point here is it's not just soon to be former President Trump is going to be facing a lot of charges. Now, the questions come up, can he pardon himself? He's doing a lot of he's pardoning everybody in the world right now that has ever been connected with him. Keep in mind the pardons are only for federal charges. Even if he pardoned himself and it went through, he can still be charged on the state level. He's facing charges in many, many different states, including New York, where he's in a lot of trouble, and he'll be in trouble in Florida too. Nevertheless, the president can be convicted by the Senate after the fact. He's already been impeached a second time. We've talked about that. Congratulations for impeaching him. And congratulations to former President Trump for being the first president ever to be impeached twice. He can be convicted by the Senate. We don't know how the Republicans are going to go. My guess is there won't be 17 Republicans to join the 50 Democrats to convict former President Trump in the Senate. We'll see. That's 67 they need. And the Senate can then vote to bar former President Trump from ever holding public office again. That would be the sweetest thing of all. We are closing our show right now, and I want to say again, the next show I'm going to do will be during a new term of a new president, a new vice president. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being with us all this time. I urge you to move forward with an optimistic mind and a feeling that we're going to work together. We're going to arrest the people involved in January 6th and have investigations, and maybe the former president might even be convicted by the Senate. But the best thing I can say right now is tonight, January 19th, 2021, is the last night we'll have Donald Trump as our president. Good night, and thanks for listening. Making a difference, Biden and Harris to the rescue. I'm Eric Crossley. We'll see you next time.